Ooh, can you hear that, Kieran? The sound. It's the sound of Brighton in the background. It certainly hasn't been augmented in the background as a bed, no.
Oh, no, we're on the seafront recording this.
Is that someone having a chippy tea? Good for you.
Hey, look, Brighton Pier's over there.
Oh, look, Brighton Pier, the grand. Yeah.
And then there's that massive, beautiful
I-360. Yeah. It's pretty rubbish. Yes, listener, we're not in Brighton recording this due to the amount of wind that would have been recorded, and we know that's just not good audio quality. So we're doing this back in the studio with our notes, what we thought of Brighton as a ground, as a city, as somewhere to go to. Overall, amazingly positive. I thought the actual city was so nice, so different. It felt completely different to anything I've been to before and would love to go again. But the mayor of Brighton is not available, so we've got the second best option, Kieran Etheridge. How are you, pal?
I'm good. I've kind of got over the result now a little bit. Still fairly annoyed that I travelled 6 hours round trip to see that game of football that I think we both can agree, looking back, was pretty terrible from a neutral's point of view.
Per 100 miles of driving, we saw a Forest shot. 304 miles.
And then let me work this out. 304 miles.
Yeah, we saw three Forest shots.
We saw three Forest shots. How many Brighton shots would that be?
About 17. So Brighton completely dominated. Nottingham Forest held on. It was like the Alamo. It was like Dunkirk with Ryan Yates instead of Harry Styles. But the boys in Garibaldi took their second point from three games. A massive improvement from the games beforehand. But we're not here to talk about the ins and outs of Nottingham Forest. We're here to talk about away days. So let's talk about this. Nottingham to Brighton. Bit of a track. Kieran, you drove. How was it?
Yeah, it's honestly not that bad of a drive, as long as you don't get traffic on the M1, the M25, or the M23. Mm. Which, I mean, unfortunately, we got hit by a little bit on the M25, but that's just this normal traffic, to be honest. I hit that every time I go back home. Not ideal, but that's the only real direct route you can go back home.
Very long trip on a Tuesday night, 304 miles. Just the Premier League, nonsensical idea. No common sense within the Premier League. Brighton has so many grounds around it. It could go to the whole of London. Think about the teams from Tottenham to Brentford to Fulham. If you want elite, if you want relegation, you could.
I mean, you've got other South Coast teams.
Southampton, Bournemouth. There's so many teams they could have gone for. And to go for Nottingham just shows a complete lack of care to the fans. And we could have got the train, but it was far too expensive, even with rail cards. But yeah, driving turned out to be not too bad, sharing the prices. Petrol obviously is quite difficult, and we're very aware how privileged we are to have a car to drive to games. But still, we have to take that into account. Part of away days is how you get to the ground driving. Brighton as a city, let's talk about that. Really beautiful. I really liked it. The Victorian sort of seaside element still stays through. There are elements of decay, if we're quite honest. But the absolute shining, I'm going to say this quite often, the rainbow of colour when you went down the lanes was something so different, and I'm really happy you took me there. It was really vibrant, really different, and it made you smile, because everyone could just be themselves. I think that was a really nice part, and obviously it's the start of Rainbow Laces campaign this week, and I just think Brighton was a perfect place to go. I just think it got it right. It felt like a very inclusive city. Obviously you're from this, so it might not be as sort of unique to you. I think it's sort of what you grew up with, but for me as an outsider, beautiful seaside and a beautiful sort of community. Everyone seemed very welcoming. We were talking to people at the train station, Brighton fans and Forest fans. There didn't seem to be any sort of trouble in and around the ground. Everyone behaved themselves. It was a pleasant experience, and would happily go to Brighton again.
Yeah, no, obviously me growing up there, like anyone has with their hometown, I don't think anyone particularly finds it too special, because obviously you see it on a day-to-day basis. But Brighton, it's a very nice city. It's not too big, not too imposing. You feel kind of comfortable being there. Even if you don't know your way around, it's fairly easy. If you do get lost, just walk towards the sea. Once you're down on the seafront, you're likely to either see the pier or like the I-360 at the moment, or some other landmark that you're able to find your way. But there's one thing that obviously kind of, in terms of the city, that could be better, and that's having the football stadium a bit closer to town centre. Because obviously, so going from town centre to the stadium, the council lays on free travel, which is good.
That's nice.
Free buses for season ticket holders and any ticket holders that are Brighton tickets, and free train travel for all, going to Falmer Station. Now, Falmer Station is one of the smallest stations in the area, and it's the only station that really is near the Amex, so it's a bit of a...
If you go on URN underscore away days Instagram story function for the Brighton, just at the end, you'll see the amount of men just queued up.
Yeah.
It was unreal, and I think the transport is its real weakness.
Yeah.
The Amex, as long as another part, which we'll come on to, getting there was a real ache. £20 Uber there, because the trains were backed up and we would have got there late. People in front of me couldn't get there on time for kickoff, and it was just not right in my book. I think you've had 10 years at that ground, no adaptation by the council or by the football club. It just wasn't right, personally. Yeah, transport.
Obviously, I mean, the only thing to take into account there is that the train companies are obviously privately owned, so yeah, it's so not.
Yeah, but the station's still bigger.
Yeah, no, exactly. It is really poor transport links to the ground, and that has always been a weak point of it, which, I mean, Brighton fans have just kind of grown to get used to. We always knew if a game is, say, at, I don't know, like say we had the 7:30 kickoff, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So most Brighton fans would have been aiming to get there, be waiting for the train about an hour and a half to 2 hours before. Obviously, that's Brighton fans. They've been to that stadium many times before. Whereas Forest fans going down there obviously have no idea unless they have been told in advance. So I think that maybe a bit better labelling or just better communication between the two clubs, letting fans know to give a little bit of time to get to the stadium might work better to avoid, to kind of mitigate the build up of people.
Yeah, it was an absolute mess, and it just seemed like no one really knew what to do on the Forest side of things. So as an away conglomerate, we weren't happy. Obviously, Kieran sat at the home end, I sat at the away end, and for the whole thing, I was thinking, ecky thump, Brighton are quiet. You hear all these stories about Brighton maybe being a more posh club. And then I thought Forest were really loud. And then you came to me after the game and said, couldn't hear a word you said.
No, there was literally one time that we could hear Forest clearly. Mm. Obviously, I mean, you probably had the same with us. You could hear little bits here and there.
But I just thought you guys were just quiet.
No, because the area that I was in the Northwest Stand, which is... The North Stand is like the main Brighton supporting end. It's when, I wouldn't call them ultras, but it's where our main...
Fan base is.
The big, like, big part of the fan base is there. And the Northwest is probably the second best place for atmosphere in the stadium. But you're kind of in between the West Stand, which is also quite well known for a decent atmosphere, and then the North Stand's the best atmosphere. But we were loud. It's one of the loudest Brighton games I've been to. Mainly out of pure frustration. But the only thing that I could hear the Forest fans singing really was Mullough Kintyre at the end, just before the final whistle.
Yeah, it was bizarre how... It just didn't. You couldn't keep an atmosphere in that bowl stadium. It was quite annoying because the game never felt like it was getting anywhere. It was just a bit. I just don't think it as a ground, its placement and its structure quite works. It's a nice stadium.
I mean, if a little bit of history on that stadium.
I'm aware that you're very lucky to have it.
The history behind that stadium, obviously, the Goldstone Ground, which was in the centre of Hove, right, literally 15 minutes from where I live. I don't know whether you saw when we drove into the town centre, we went past a park called Hove Park. That is literally where the ground used to be.
Yeah.
Which is perfectly placed. Sure, it might have caused a few traffic problems in like a huge Premier League game, but in terms of like keeping an atmosphere and keeping it in town, that would have been a perfect place to keep it. However, that got sold off. We then got relocated to Gillingham, had the stadium share for a couple of years. Then obviously we went down to Withdean, which you saw, which is literally just an athletics track. It had to be redone to accommodate football. And then we finally got planning permission for the Amex and it was built. Been there for 10 years now, and it's a great stadium. I love the look of it. It fits in with the South Downs really nicely. It's built to kind of, you know, it arches kind of the stadium. And I don't know whether you saw the roofs are kind of slanted. It's built to fit in with the surrounding area.
It does. But for an atmosphere.
However, for an atmosphere, it doesn't hold it. No. And, I mean, it is a very nice modern stadium, and I do love it. It's just that it does lack that little bit. Whereas when, say, I go to the City Ground, the atmosphere is retained.
So retained. And even though it's not a bowl, and you can literally see into Notts County's ground, you can see into the city centre, it's condensed in there. And I just think it lacked that sort of... I don't mean to be rude, it felt quite soulless.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that, because obviously, in terms of stadiums, it's still a very new stadium. Mm. I mean, I suppose the Spurs stadium doesn't really have the issue, as another example, because of how big it is.
Yeah, and it's so
and
close.
It's imposing. Like, it's... The thing is with the Amex, the stands aren't particularly vertical stands. You don't have that kind of imposing nature of it. It's very, I don't know how to describe it to listeners.
It's almost like a wave or a hill.
Yeah.
Because you go to the City Ground, you see the Trent End slightly imposing. You go to Exeter City, I know for more lower league example, that massive cop they've got. Notts County too, they've got a massive cop. There just isn't that quite big end, if you know what I mean. I think the away end is just similar to the home end, if you know what I mean, by the North End, wasn't it? Just didn't feel quite right in my book. But overall, we're going to have to give that 3 out of 5 stars, I'd argue.
I think that's fair.
I think it's actual structural elegance. And
in terms of the ground, it's amazing. It's just it doesn't quite have that atmosphere.
I didn't have any problems with queues or anything.
No.
The security was all lovely. Your actual pretty much atmosphere, let's talk about that. The light show.
Yeah, well, that's the first time I've ever experienced the light show. And it's safe to say it was a little bit pathetic.
A little bit pathetic. Just turning lights on and off, Dave.
I did enjoy the... a lot of the Brighton fans did think that the same thing, and they enjoyed the little sarcastic applause that the Forest fans gave at the end.
Yeah.
That was quite funny.
Yeah.
But, now the light show was a little bit pathetic, and I think if done right, it looks good. It looks really good. But in terms of it being, I feel like because of it being a Tuesday night game against a side that is not particularly a huge game,
it's
like
not
that,
a rivalry.
They're just trying to build a little bit of atmosphere at the end of the day.
I must say the presenter or the pitchside presenter, really good. I've seen a lot worse. He was engaging. Even as a Forest fan, I thought really good. The screens, really well placed too. Very visible, very bright.
The pre-match videos are good as well.
I'd agree with that. I thought they were quite good. The actual visibility of the screens, and this is going to sound mad, was really good. You go to the City Ground, I can't tell you the time.
No.
I can't tell you who's on. It's just
they're good sizes for the stadium.
Good size, good quality.
It doesn't take up too much of the stadium,
but
it's still visible from pretty much anywhere you're sitting.
Yeah. Let's go on to confectionery. Now, we had a Wendy's, and can I just say, one of the best fast food restaurants I've ever been to. I had a Baconator. Just such good food. We're not being plugged by Wendy's, but if you want to, Wendy's... Go ahead. Yeah, but you had some Brighton and Hove bonbons.
I did. I also had flying saucers in the home ends. They sell. They had like sweet stands up.
Yeah.
Which it's very very Brighton. And I mean, it's been there for ages. It's just a normal thing for Brighton fans. But obviously, you don't get that pretty much anywhere else.
No,
I don't think I've ever seen it in another stadium.
I've seen it at Wembley for an NFL game, but it just slightly weird coming back and meeting you on the big seagull. Just going, you have right bonbon. But yeah, then came the absolute mess of leaving the ground. It took us an hour to walk back to the city centre.
Yeah, and you were with two people who knew what way to go as well.
Yeah.
If that was a Forest fan, they'd be following Google Maps. They wouldn't have taken... Google Maps would not take you the way that we went, because obviously we went through quite a few back paths that obviously me and my friend Jack that we were with knew.
Yeah.
It's a pain to get away. I don't think it helped the kickoff time. If it was a 3 o'clock kickoff, we would have been fine, because obviously bus services would have been running like normal for the rest of the day. Train services would have been running like normal for the rest of the day. You might have had to have paid rather than getting a free one, but I don't think anyone's going to really complain about that, because
it's transport.
The free public transport thing is a very, very good thing that Brighton have going for them. It's just you have to be there to get on it as such.
Yeah, it was very disappointing, the pre-match exit, but a valuable point for Forest, myself and Kieran, we'll talk about this in the latest Over the Trent. The quality of football was pretty appalling from both. We won't go into it because I gave myself a stress headache watching that game. Let's just say, man of the match for you.
Man of the match, Lewis Dunk eventually got it. I think I agree with that, to be honest. Dean Henderson probably for a shout, but
Ryan Yates took everything, was just getting battered. He got a boot to the face.
Yeah, I know that should.
He was sensational.
He was good. I think it's between Yates and Dunk.
Yeah.
For Brighton's man match, I'm definitely going to go Dunk, just because he was the only player towards the end that was actually pushing the play forward rather than going side to side. Which
it's very interesting that we've both gone for the sort of hard man.
Yeah,
isn't it? And that summarised the game. Rubbish game. Great time there. Everyone so welcoming. Brighton as a place, wonderful. Really nice welcoming. Ground could be better, a little bit soulless. And that wraps up. Usually these are sort of more edited, but due to the wind and the sort of timing of it, we couldn't quite get voice notes. But we wanted to share our thoughts and provide our first stadium tour in so long. I think the last time we did a proper podcast on this was Notts County just before Christmas. So that says a lot. So we're back. You're on away days. Will we keep on going? Myself and Kieran will be leading the charge, we're sure. And Over the Trent is coming up very soon. If you want to listen to any other URN sport podcasts, really do recommend the URN TTIAD. They think it's all Doha podcast about the environment and with Queerest and Dearest, talking about LGBTQ perceptions of the World Cup in Qatar. It's really interesting, something I'd never thought of, and what the brands are doing. Kieran, it's a fantastic show. I really do recommend that. Kieran, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for driving us down to Brighton. I'm sure I gave you enough celebrations, Mars bars and stickers to fuel you. But yeah, thank you for showing me Wendy. Wendy's is the greatest fast food restaurant in the world. That's all we have time for. Thank you very much. Keep it URM.